Joining me tonight on the show is Mr. P. Chidambaram, senior Congress leader, former union minister, and distinguished lawyer. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Chidambaram, for joining me. Now, Mr. Chidambaram, you continue to tweet on the Pegasus scandal. You've raised questions about who funded it and where exactly, if at all, if the government has deployed it, where exactly is the source of that deployment. But Mr. Chidambaram, the government continues to maintain that this is a non-story. There's no evidence to suggest that the government had anything to do with it.
If it's a non-story, the government has nothing to do with it. Why doesn't government boldly and fearlessly appoint a commission of inquiry or a judge to report that, one, there was no infiltration into any Indian telephone. Two, no Indian telephone was hacked. Three, if it was hacked, it was not by the government of India. Four, it was not by a government agency. I mean, all this can be easily discovered or found out if there is an investigation. Is it because there is a non-story that the defense minister of Israel flies to France to pacify President Macron? Is it because there is a non-story, does the Israel government order an investigation by no less than the Israeli National Security Council? Are these empty gestures?
Right.
Every day, there is mounting evidence that something went wrong. Question is, did something go wrong in India? If something did go wrong in India, who was responsible for it?
Okay, but Mr. Chidambaram, when the government said, and we had the minister on the floor of the House saying that we did nothing illegal, you know, we do have protocols in place for surveillance, but we don't do illegal surveillance, which was an attempt, I suppose, to answer the question you're asking about whether they were actually snooping, illegally snooping or hacking into the phones of Indian citizens, you don't buy that as an explanation?
I don't, because the minister is an intelligent minister. And the statement is worded very cleverly. What did he say? There was no unauthorized surveillance. Two questions. Was there surveillance? Second question. Was there authorized surveillance? If you say that there was no unauthorized surveillance, these two questions arise. If he was so clear that there was no surveillance at all, he should have simply said there was no surveillance of whatever kind. Why did he qualify the word surveillance by there was no unauthorized surveillance?
Okay.
There's a famous proverb in Tamil. I'm sure there's one in every language. My father is not hiding in the barn. What does it mean? My father is not hiding in the barn. Means what?
Okay. But Mr. Chidambaram, you tweeted saying that I'm certain the client's name will be revealed soon. By this, you're meaning the client of the Pegasus spyware, indicating, I suppose, that, you know, that it will emerge that it's the Indian government. But what gives you this confidence that the name will be revealed soon? Because if India is not going to probe, the government is not going to order a probe, how will the name be revealed?
This is a new revelation today. This is a new revelation made last night or early this morning, and it has been carried in the newspapers this morning. Wire, which is part of that international group of journals and journalists, put out a statement saying, which in two places say, Indian client of NSO group. Please read that statement very carefully. Indian client of NSO group. Twice it says.
Right.
So Wire is now stating that there is an Indian client of the NSO group. Who is that Indian client? Was it the government of India? Was it an agency of the government of India? Was it a rogue agency of the government of India which acted without the approval of the government of India?
Right.
Or was it a private entity? Each one makes it worse. If it was a rogue agency, the matter is very serious. And if it is a private entity, the matter is of utmost seriousness.
Okay.
So there is an Indian client. You have to find out who the Indian client is.
Okay. You know, Mamata Banerjee, as you know, has, or may have heard, has set up a judicial commission to probe this particular scandal or supposed scandal. Why has a Congress, I mean, firstly, does that have any kind of legal bite or sanction? And if so, why didn't one of the Congress rules states do that? Has she sort of stolen a march over you in that sense?
No, we are not in a one-upmanship game. You see, Commissions of Inquiry Act authorizes, enables the central government to appoint a commission. It also empowers the state government to appoint a commission. Mamata ji has appointed a commission because there is evidence that an MP from Bengal was snooped upon. At least there is an allegation that an MP from Bengal, Abhishek Banerjee, was snooped upon.
Right.
Therefore, there is a cause of action arising in Bengal, what in law we call a cause of action arising in Bengal,
okay,
which entitles her to appoint a commission. But we have no name so far, no prominent name I know of, maybe you have read it more carefully, emerging either from Rajasthan or from Chhattisgarh. The question appointing a commission by the state government of Chhattisgarh or Rajasthan doesn't arise.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Let's see how it plays out. But Mr. Chidambaram, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
On the show. Thanks very much indeed. Okay. Let's move now. As I mentioned earlier, Mamata Banerjee in New Delhi holding meetings amid this rising noise, this rising controversy around Pegasus. Derek O'Brien, Rajya Sabha MP of the Trinamool Congress, senior leader of the party, joins me. Derek O'Brien, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Now, we're seeing Mamata Banerjee here. This comes at a time when the opposition is leading a charge against this Pegasus controversy. How are we to read this? Is it just coincidence, or is it, as many people seeing, Mamata Banerjee now positioning, you know, the Mamata going national, positioning herself in a sense as a national alternative to the Modi government?
Mr. Jain, on May the 2nd, the All India Trinamool Congress and the people of Bengal told Modi and Shah, who spent so much of money, who used all the agencies they had,
right,
who were daily passengers, I don't know whether it was Air India or Indigo, up and down from Calcutta, who had their mugs on every poster. The message after that was clear. They were handed out a humiliating defeat. So now with this parliament session, it's but obvious the mood of the opposition has changed. I just heard what the opening batsman from my team, as in the opposition team, said, Mr. Chidambaram. We have Mr. Modi and Mr. Shah on the back foot. The body language is different. So Mamata Banerjee is a seasoned public servant. She's a seasoned politician. And she's here to for the kill. She had a meeting with the Prime Minister. And I don't know what they discussed at the meeting. That would not be proper on my part to, because I don't even know what they discussed. That's a meeting between a Prime Minister and a Chief Minister.
Yes.
It was a courtesy call.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because this is the first time she's come to Delhi. But the mood in Parliament is very, very clear. Today we coordinated it so well that we even had slogans in Tamil in Rajya Sabha, because we wanted DMK to go into the lead. So we learnt one line of Tamil, and all of us were, but I've forgotten the slogan, so pardon me.
The slogan apparently was Vendam, Vendam, Vendam. That's what we heard on the clip.
Vendam, Vendam, yeah. The only Tamil line was Naredi, Naredi, Naredi. Yeah, okay. Achha, it was our idea. Okay, but we all work together. Yeah, we want a probe. So we did that. But on a mostly, so there is a good coordination happening on the floor of Parliament. So we normally do slogans in Hindi and English.
Right.
Maybe next week we'll do one in Bengali. Maybe but then Derek we'll do O'Brien, one in Punjabi. It's beyond slogans. It's serious.
Okay. Mm. But Derek O'Brien, let me ask you this. Is there an inherent contradiction in this opposition demand for a pro? Because on one hand, you've got the opposition alleging quite directly that it's the BJP government which has in fact bought and deployed this spyware against its rivals. On the other hand, you're asking the government itself to probe what essentially then is a problematic act. Why would they do that if your first allegation is true?
No, that is not the right way of looking at it, Mr. Jain, because these things, whether they've happened, not happened, I think, and I'm not repeating the points which we've tweeted about or Mr. Chidambaram just spoke about, whether who has hired this government. But the basis of parliament is that the opposition has to have its say. And the government, because they have the numbers, have to have its way.
Right.
Why aren't you allowing us to have our say?
Okay. I'll
tell you why. The reason why we are not allowed to have our say is because that's why next week we are actually seriously thinking of somewhere in Pandara Road or somewhere in Lodi Gardens, we are planning to set up these camps. These are tutorial camps.
Okay.
Where we want Mr. Modi and Mr. Shah,
who
don't understand how parliament works.
Right.
We want to share with them in parliament because Mr. Modi and Mr. Shah think it's okay that in UPA 1 and UPA 2, 70% of all bills were scrutinized and studied.
Right.
They think it's okay now if it's 10% is scrutinized, that's okay. 1 minute. They think it's okay if Lok Sabha can run for two and a half years without a deputy speaker. They think it's okay if the Prime Minister doesn't come to Rajya Sabha to answer any questions. So I think the issue here is Pegasus is an issue. Farm laws issue. Repeal the bills. But for that, you have to have Mr. Modi and Mr. Shah to understand Parliament, Mr. Jain, which they're not understanding. And I really think these free tutorials must start. It's a national service. It's a corporate social responsibility to Mr. Shah and Mr. Modi because they're very important constitutional posts they hold.
All right. Okay. As provocative as ever, Derek O'Brien, thank you very much indeed for joining us. All right. Let's go across to panel. Apologies to keep you all waiting. Pawan Kheda, spokesperson of the Congress, is with us. Deshratan Nigam, political analyst, supports the RSS with us. John Brittas, Rajya Sabha member, senior journalist, someone who's filed one of the several petitions in the Supreme Court on this issue, is with us. Deshratan Nigam, if I can just begin with you, that with this now increasing, you know, pressure being built up on the government, especially when you see other governments reacting, France, Israel, they're all ordering probes, wanting to drill deeper into it. Is the government painting itself into a corner by continuously refusing a probe into Pegasus? Regardless of whether the charges are true or not, the question is still not clear. Why is the government so reluctant to probe it?
I do not want to comment about what France is doing or Hungary is doing or Israel is doing. I comment what is there in India in public domain in India. I'll raise a few questions. First, the report talks of potential targets, which means a probability of an event happening in future, not the event. Don't use the word potential for the event that has happened in 2017-19. So that's the first variant. Second is, whose list is this? From whose server it has come out? And where is the original raw list that can be put technical scrutiny in the absence of these...
Isn't this all what can emerge from a probe?
Let me tell you, let me answer. You have to have something to begin a probe. You cannot fishing and roving inquiry, which the Supreme Court is very clear to various judges. And therefore, in order, this is exactly your fishing and roving inquiry, that's what they want.
And unless a fishing and roving inquiry, alright. Let me
come again. Let me finish off. Now, amnesty has an axe to grind against India. You know that they are, sir. Being prosecuted in India because of money laundering ED issue. So their credibility itself, no, they have their expertise towards India. There are some software traces, hacked or not hacked. Why these people have not gone to the police if it's the difference?
It's not credible. Okay, so you're saying it's not credible, etc. Advocate Vikas Singh also joining us. Pawan Kheda, you want to respond to that? That the very fundamental premise of the probe the BJP is arguing doesn't exist.
Who is the BJP to decide? They are in the docks. Continuous. This government is in the dock. How can most important individuals of this country, some of them heading investigative agencies, some of them judicial officers, opposition leaders, journalists, who knows who all, including RSS leaders. I don't know why Mr. Deshratan Nigam is not defending Dattatreya Hosbolle and others. All these data from their mobile phones was not just being accessed by somebody in the government. It's a dual server. Also, the NSO, it gets routed through a foreign company. Why is it that every time we corner this government, they will be giving clean sheets to China when it comes to incursions in Ladakh? Sure. They will stand by NSO, an Israeli company, when we are asking them to protect the confidential information of our country, protect high, you know, important individuals of our country, protect the privacy of you and me.
Sure.
It's the job of this government, but they will stand with China, they will stand with Israel, they will not stand with Alok Verma, who was the CBI director, they will not stand with Dattatreya Hosbolle, who is an RSS leader, they will not stand by any of the journalists, by that victim of sexual harassment in the Supreme Court, they would not stand by her. Why?
All right.
Why is this government against the very people who've elected this government?
Okay. Vikas Singh, you know, now this has also gone to the Supreme Court. Mr. Britas and others, N. Ram as well, and Shashi Kumar, two senior journalists, have also moved to the Supreme Court asking for a court monitor probe. If the government is resisting a probe, do you think that the court has the powers to mandate such a probe, especially given that this is, you know, this pertains to sensitive areas of national security?
Well, according to me, this was an ideal case where the Supreme Court should have ordered a suo motu probe in this matter. Now that the West Bengal government has already constituted a commission of inquiry of very credible people, I think the best thing that the Supreme Court can do now is to, you know, empower this commission by saying that it will have a pan-India, you know, sort of jurisdiction, which otherwise also it has, but to, you know, put at rest any such, you know, misgiving. Because, you know, some people are telling that the Supreme Court, this West Bengal government doesn't have the jurisdiction to order such kind of a commission, to constitute such a kind of a commission, because this is the central role. This could have only arisen if the center accepts that it has actually ordered this Pegasus probe and they have used the statutory powers to do so. But if the center does not say so, then it is a purely law and order or a public order or a privacy issue.
Okay, so you're saying privacy, the Supreme Court does have... go ahead. Okay.
Supreme Court should have done it even prior to anybody coming to the Supreme Court. It should have done it suo motu.
Right.
But now there is an opportune moment for them to actually empower this commission, which is a very, very, of reputed people.
Okay.
And to say that they will look into the entire angle.
Let me just get in. Got it. I'll come to you, Deshratan Nigam. John Britas, you're the amongst those who moved the Supreme Court. But if the argument is that the government says it had nothing to do with us, the source of the information is dodgy, we don't trust where it's coming from, there's nothing to prove that anything happened, what are the grounds then for moving the court, Mr. Britas?
Srinivas, we should think about the 2017 Supreme Court verdict, where the Supreme Court said right to privacy is a fundamental right. Now, cutting across the nations, 10 prime ministers, 3 presidents and 1 royal king are victims of this Pegasus spyware. You all want Rafale to be here, but
alleged
you don't
victims.
Want to buy the logic of Emmanuel Macron. And even the originator has ordered an inquiry.
Right.
Numerous people cutting across, constitutional authorities, politicians, journalists, army people, even the Cook and the Mali, they have been tapped. It's not
so
merely tapped. It's a complete surveillance.
Okay. But, Deshratan Nigam, the point is that, as Mr. Chidambaram was saying, that if this was a non-story, a non-issue, the government could have just come out and answered those critical questions, that we have not bought and deployed the spyware. which they've still not done. We're now in day, what, 6 or 7 of the scandal, or perhaps even more? And that question still remains unanswered.
Vasu, let me first answer Mr. Prithas. When you say right to privacy is a fundamental right, then you have to clearly establish that right is violated. It should not be in the realm of suspicion. That's what the law is. You have to clearly establish it. Then only you can ask for your defenses. Second, let me answer Mr. Vikas Singh. Section 2 of Inquiry Act is very clear that the state commission can be appointed by the state government only if the subject matter falls in the state list or concurrent list. Now, this surveillance that you are talking about falls under telecommunication, wireless or similar communication, which is entry 31 of the union list.
Okay, now answer my question, Mr. Nigam.
Yes. I am coming to your question.
Yes, quickly, you know, because time is short, yes.
What I am saying is, you have to show something. Basis has to first be established. It cannot be merely in air.
No, but why is the government then not saying, if you're saying it's all in the air, government can come out and say, we've never bought and deployed it. I come back to it. Why aren't they saying that?
Let me answer that. The moment, I don't know whether government of India is doing it or not, I am answering a logical answer to you, saying that if the government of India says what kind of software it is using for the authorized surveillances, I'm not talking about anything unauthorized, authorized surveillance tool compromising the intelligence work, it can be open to successful hacking. So you don't have to tell at all what kind of software you are using. You will be open
I will
yourself.
Answer.
You don't have to tell?
You don't have
I
to
will answer.
I don't understand what you're saying. If you're using spyware like Pegasus, it is borderline, if not outright illegal. You do have to explain whether you are or not.
God.
And that's something the government isn't doing anyway. Pawan Khera wants to come in. Yes, Pawan Khera.
This is the worst defense that I've ever heard of this government. No, I think RSS is turning against the BJP. If this is the kind of defense RSS is putting forward. Thank you, Mr. Nigam. I think you are a nationalist. Now, who's asking which software are you using? We are asking, are you using Pegasus or not? And Vasu, if the government is not the client of Pegasus, then the government should be more interested than Vasu and Pawan Khera to know who else is. Who is it that is accessing information from Alok Verma's phone? From your phone, from my phone, from Dattatreya Hosboleji's phone, ये तो हम सब सरकार को ज्यादा चिंता होनी चाहिए कि भाई 56 इंच के होते हुए कोई और जासूसी कैसे कर रहा है एंड आल्सो अ फॉरेन कंट्री फॉर गॉड सेक द गवर्नमेंट शुड बी मोर कीन ऑन फाइंडिंग आउट इफ इट इज नॉट द गवर्नमेंट फॉर अ मिनट लेट्स अज्यूम इट्स नॉट द गवर्नमेंट
राइट
देन द क्वेश्चन इज देन हु एल्स
ओके
दैट क्वेश्चन शुड हॉन्ट ईच वन ऑफ अस इंक्लूडिंग मिस्टर मोदी एंड मिस्टर शाह
ओके हॉन्ट ईच वन ऑफ अस वेयर वेरी वेरी शॉर्ट ऑन टाइम मिस्टर विकास सिंह वेरी ब्रीफली सर वी आर कंप्लीटली आउट ऑफ टाइम यस मिस्टर सिंह
यस सो टू आंसर दिस क्वेश्चन रेज्ड बाय मिस्टर निगम that if it is entry 31, the state is denuded of its power. For invoking entry 31, they have to come out and say that they have authorized this snooping. So then it will be a telecom issue. If they have not authorized this snooping, then it's merely a public order or a law and order or an invasion of privacy issue, which is definitely within the state subject. So according to me, the state is fully empowered to look at
it. Okay. We'll have to leave it there. We are so over time, but we'll come back to this debate, and I'm sure we'll have you back, Deshwatan Nigam. Thank you all so much for joining us. Take a short break. Be back with more. Welcome back. It's a day since a decades-old simmering border dispute between Assam and Mizoram exploded into unprecedented violence at their borders. 5 Assam policemen died of bullet injuries after being fired on by Mizoram police and many more injured, and tensions are still high. At the border itself, there is an uneasy calm as police forces of both states have backed off, but the leaders of both states have escalated the rhetoric. Today, Assam's Chief Minister Himanta Biswa paid homage to the slain police officials and targeted his Mizoram counterpart, Zoram Thanga.
Then we decided on an agreement that this will be the agreement. Then suddenly firing comes. But Khalima Ahomar Rajok Etuya Janabo Khuju, we have not backtracked. Our people may have died, But we are there, we are solidly there, we are defending our constitutional boundary.
Mr. Sarma has also put out a series of tweets in which he appears to show Mizo armed forces and locals celebrating the attack on the Assam police.
LMG Pune.
The Mizoram Chief Minister in turn has stepped up his attack on Assam, blaming it for the provocation, again in a series of tweets and videos.
Uteron chau vai hauin an motoran bok chhiat sak veka anu pain an khoya chai sapokan pa pe chu khal hei thei lo ni ti hian an soi che an lo bok chhiat sak na samaya oh ekan mizoram sote anu pain ni an soi sana samo.
Both states have also put out statements directly blaming each other for who started the violence. Assam says Mizoram is to blame. Mizoram is saying the same thing. Assam says Mizoram began building a road set up to a new armed camp. Assam says they sent a team to negotiate a truce with Mizoram. And while negotiations were taking place, Mizoram police opened fire in which 5 Assam police personnel died, more than 50 injured. Assam said their police has shown remarkable restraint. Mizoram says that the Assam police aggression is behind the violence, that Assam police overran a Mizoram police post, and that they fired tear gas and grenades at Mizoram police, followed by firing from the Assam side, and the Mizoram police was simply responding by firing back. Mizoram says they regret injuries on both sides. Now, both Assam and Mizoram, ironically, are part of the NDA. In fact, Himanta Sarma, the Assam Chief Minister, heads the Modi government's high-level northeast body, NEDA or NEDA, of which the Mizo CM is a member. The opposition has used this to target Home Minister Amit Shah, pointing out that the violence comes close on the heels of Mr. Shah's visit to the northeast to hold meetings with the region's chief ministers. All right, I spoke earlier to the Member of Parliament of Mizoram. He's from the Mizo National Front, the ruling party, Mr. Lal Rosanga, to ask him about this escalating war of words. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Lal Rosanga, for joining me. Now, I heard that you said that this was a pure act of aggression by the Assam police, but the Assam government, the chief minister, has come out very clearly saying that this was entirely provoked by the Mizoram side.
No.
You deny this? You're saying that it wasn't started by the Mizoram side? How did it start then, according to you?
Absolutely not. Because yesterday, the act of aggression was started by the Assam police only. They went to the Mizoram border. In fact, they went past the CRPF duty post there. This was manned by the CRPF, and they overran it, and then they went to the border. They went to the outskirt of the village, the auto stand. They went up to that, and this is a part of Mizoram only, and it is the Assam police only which went with a huge contingent of around 200 policemen with senior officers, and they had every intention of provoking a fight out there.
But sir, if it was the Assam police's fault, then explain to us how it was the Assam police that have lost 5 people in the firing.
Yeah, because the Assam police lobbed hand grenades and they shot tear gas canisters, and then they even fired. They fired. They did the. They fired first. So naturally, it provoked the Assam police, the Mizoram police over there.
That's not actually what the Assam government is saying. The Assam government is saying that first their delegation that went was surrounded and attacked by a mob of miscreants on the Mizoram side. After that, they said that one of the... Let me just finish, sir, and then you can respond. After that, they said that when there was another round of talks going on, the Mizoram police horrifically opened fire on Assam officials and civilians from two dominating high features with automatic weapons and LMGs, light machine guns.
No, the Assam police contingent, they went to the border, they went inside the Mizoram border, and they even went past the CRPF duty post. I don't know how the CRPF duty there didn't stop them because they were supposed to control the situation out there.
Yeah.
Even then, they went past that and they went up to that auto rickshaw stand and there they started to provoke the villagers, and that is why the villagers came from the village and they were unarmed villagers.
Yes.
And they didn't come there to fight. But in spite of that, it seems the Assam police, they lobbed hand grenades and canisters.
So you're saying that the fact that the Mizoram police fired on their Assam counterparts, killing five, you're saying that was done out of self-defense?
Yes, yes. To protect the border of Mizoram.
But no Mizoram police force were killed or injured. I mean, thank God, but then how does that how does that explain?
No, there were injuries.
Okay, you claim there have been injuries, but tell me overall, Mr. Lalsoranga, this is unprecedented. We've never seen.
Oh yes, it is.
We've never seen police force of two Indian states firing at each other in one instance. Members, at least five have been killed of one state. I mean, isn't this condemnable? I mean, how you almost seem to be saying it was justified.
No, the act of aggression by the Assam police was condemnable, and this incident could have been avoided. The killings should not and ought not to have taken place at all.
Right.
But when they fired first, when the Assam police fired first, in self-defense, the Mizoram police had to fire back.
Okay, you're still saying they fired first, but overall, what I think is surprising a lot of people also, Mr. Lalsoranga, is that your government in Mizoram, as well as, of course, the Assam government, are all part of the NDA umbrella in the Northeast. And yet you've had this complete breakdown.
True. Very true. Yes.
Isn't this also a political failure of both,
very unfortunate.
Both of both the chief ministers, the both the leaders, including Mr. Zoramthanga?
I think it's the failure of the new chief minister of Assam, because these things have started happening after he took over as chief minister. There were both the clashes before, but not to this extent.
You're completely absolving Mr. Zoramthanga.
Yes.
But last question to you.
Yes.
What about the Home Minister? I mean, has he, to your information, has he intervened? Is there an attempt to now de-escalate? Because the rhetoric is very sharp on both sides, even now.
You mean the Union Home Minister?
Yes, yes.
Yes, he did intervene, it seems. I also tweeted and asked for his immediate intervention.
Okay.
And after some time, he did intervene. And because of his intervention, both the forces, they withdrew.
All right, let's go across the panel. We have with us Lieutenant General Shaukeen Chauhan, former chairman, Ceasefire Monitoring Group, Nagaland. He's an expert in that region. We also have with us Suhas Chakma, Director, Rights and Risks Analysis Group, David M. Thangliana, former journalist and documentary filmmaker, who's joining us from Mizoram, And let me start with Bhaskar Jyoti Gogoi. He's based in Assam in Dibrugarh, political analyst and a BJP supporter. Bhaskar Jyoti Gogoi, I mean, what do you make of this allegation? Now we just heard it from the Mizoram MP. He's saying it's the new chief minister of Assam's fault. Things have gotten worse after he's come in. While Mr. Biswas Sarma was actually an overall figure who's supposed to unite the Northeast, and yet this shocking incident has happened.
At the very outset, I'd like to pay my homage to the martyrs, five martyrs who were killed by Me Too miscreants, or perhaps police, as we can see in the videos shared by Honorable CM of Assam, that Me Too forces were celebrating after the shooting. And please note one thing, they were shooting from the hilltop. So Assam police was in the ground level and they were on the hilltop. So there is no question of aggression here from Assam police side.
But the allegation, as you heard, but Bhaskar Jyoti, the allegation is that the Mizo police fired because the Assam police were overrunning their post.
No, Assam police contingent was led by IDP level officer, in fact an IDP, and they were there to secure the border.
Okay.
And please remember, Assam is not going for settling in those border. They're just it's because it's a forest land, it's a reserve forest.
Okay,
the
protection
of the forest is Bhaskar, the main concern.
Bhaskar, listen, to just step away from the nitty-gritties of, you know, who fired first or second, the wider question I was trying to ask is, when you have Himanta Biswa as Chief Minister of Assam, he's been the point person for the BJP, NDA in the Northeast, one would have thought the reverse of something like this would happen. There'd be better coordination between states. Instead, on his watch, this has happened.
If Dr. Himanta Biswa Sarma has to follow his dharma of NEDA chairman and give away land of Assam, then he will be doing injustice to the state of Assam, because he's the CM of Assam first and then NEDA chairman. Even before this, when there was Congress government in the both Assam and Mizoram, there was no settlement to these border issues.
Okay, so when you're saying, so when you say give away land to Mizoram or give away Assam's land, for those who are not aware, this is a long simmering border dispute along the stretch of the Mizo-Assam border where both sides claim portions of land as theirs. But let me bring in Mr. Thangliana.
All that would happen only in the forest areas.
I would like to give my side of the story.
Mr. Thangliana.
Yes.
Is it fair to blame all of this on Himanta Biswa taking over? Isn't this a much older and long simmering tension? And also, is it fair to treat it as both sides, equivalence, while actually it's on the Assam side that five armed forces have died?
You're right in saying that there's been a simmering condition from long time back. But what happened is, just recently, there have been clashes with our three bordering districts in Assam.
Yes.
Very recently. And this has been going on since 1995.
Yes.
So, sporadic incidents have been happening.
But what has led to such a strong provocation this time?
You see, in the Hailakandi district area, there were incursions by the Assam police. And in the Karimganj area, the same happened recently.
And okay, now, so you're saying the incursions are by the Assam police.
A day or two after both chief ministers spoke with the Union Home Minister for an amicable settlement.
Yes.
We saw that Assam government officials and the police had come in force.
Okay, I'm sure Assam will...
Assam
statement says it's the reverse. But anyway, let me just bring in General Chauhan.
No, they
okay, okay, just a second, just a second. Mr. Thangliana, let me just move on for a second. General Chauhan, you've studied this. You've written extensively about the history of this.
Yes.
But have you ever come across something like this, where you have states troops firing at each other. I mean, we're all supposed to be in the same country.
You're absolutely right, Srinivasan. It's a difficult situation to even think about. But that entire area of the Northeast is a tinder keg of violence. And it is actually led due to the ongoing insurgency also. If you are aware, and I'm certain you are, Assam has a problem with Nagaland also. And last year, as well as last year, we had the Naga police and the Assam police almost coming to blows, but not using their weapons. Earlier this year in June, we had a similar incident of a couple of grenade blasts in this border area.
Right.
And this has been happening, as Mr. David Thangliana is saying, it's been happening for a long time. In fact, even from 1987, when the first demarcation of Mizoram took place, there were a lot of violent clashes.
So who's responsible? I mean, who's accountable here to try and make the peace and try to at least resolve this? Isn't the center supposed to be? Shouldn't they be playing a more proactive role?
Srinivasan, you're absolutely right. The center must do that. There have been two or three boundary commissions that were given the mandate to sort these ongoing border problems between Assam, Mizoram, Manipur and Nagaland.
Right.
Those boundary commissions have not been successful. So, to my mind, it must go up to the Supreme Court as fast as possible, as quickly as possible, and they must resolve this issue quickly.
Okay,
we can't let it survive at all. We can't let the situation go on.
Suhas Chakma, is it surprising because you've got, a large swath of these northeastern states, they all are either BJP governments or they're affiliated to the NDA. You've got a strong government at the center, Amit Shah's home minister, and yet you have something like this.
Well, and if you look at the entire policy of the BJP, it's not surprising. And I am telling you from history. In the 80s, you had seen that the Congress, when it was in power, it was creating counter-insurgent groups. So if you look at the Bodoland history, the Bodoland terrorists were trained by the SSP, and Mr. Bhedbarao had written extensively on that. And today
but
you have
something like this, a boundary dispute? I mean, that's surely...
The boundary dispute is not about the dispute today. It's about future. And people in Northeast, they are ethnocentric. And when they talk about the boundaries, it's not within the Union of India. It's something outside the Union of India. Something somewhere it might come up. And that's what I was saying. When what the Congress followed in the 80s, and you were exactly doing the same thing. When you brought the CAA, as well as you started the NRC, you had exempted the entire Northeastern state. Then what have you done? You created ethnocentrism. So everybody wanted to identify themselves in a manner that no outsider should be allowed to come in. And that's where the whole identification of territory, nationality, etc. comes in.
Let Bhaskar Jyoti Gogai wants to rebut. Yes, Bhaskar.
I agree that these issues have been going on for a pretty long time, over 30 years, and these can be only solved through discussion and talks. And Assam CM has asked for talks pretty even before the meeting in Shillong with the Union Home Minister. But and yesterday also there were a lot of phone calls going from him to Joram Thanga, who is the Chief Minister of Mizoram, and. Despite that, there has been no political show of support or kind of from the Mizoram side to resolve this issue.
Okay, Mizoram side is fine.
I want to respond to that.
Bhaskar, yeah. I'm saying forget Mizoram side for a second. What about the center? Bhaskar, your BJP at the center, Amit Shah, Home Minister, surely brought everybody together.
Center has stepped in yesterday itself, and CRPF contingent has taken over that disputed site.
Okay.
So that is a temporary solution.
Very quickly.
The solution can be only found between these two states.
Okay, very quickly, Mr. Thangliana. Very, very little time left. Yes, Mr. Thangliana, very quickly.
What he's saying is that Mizoram has not done anything. That is totally incorrect. The previous government under Pulau Thanhola, he had asked the center to solve this problem.
Okay.
And now our present chief minister, Puzoram Thang, has also asked the center to solve this problem.
Okay.
He has even sent many letters.
The
center has not done anything.
Sharma has expressed his desire to
There are so many grievances on our side.
All right, let's hope.
I wish there was more time for me to point out these grievances.
Okay. Let's hope cooler heads prevail and we see a stand down in the border. But thank you all so much for joining us. Thanks very much indeed.